wish you could see what I see up here. My buddy, my pal, my friend, sitting on the back there, waving a chicken at me. Oh, now, gonna hide it now. Oh, now he's bringing it out. Okay, all right. We'd go to Hiles Anderson to preach, and he that rascal, he'd slip in, sit on the second row, and then he'd have that chicken like that. He'd pull out, wave it at me, as if he thought I was afraid to preach. And you're a rascal. You know that? Oh, I love you, buddy. I love you. You got? Is that the tie I bought you? Okay. All right. Put that chicken away. Oh, boy, we traveled together for so many years with Brother Hiles and conferences and everything. We just had a wonderful time with Brother Hiles, and he was such a blessing to us. But he'd get Tom and me to picking at each other and then sit back and laugh at us. And so, and I was innocent the whole time. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me preach. This is not intimidating, but it's a big responsibility to be in another man's pulpit preaching to his people. And I preached as high as 10,000, as little as 12. So I'm not intimidated by preaching, but the older I get, the more I see the severity and the responsibility. And I'm in awe of it. The older I get, just a few more days, and I'll be with the Lord, and I know that, and I want to do my best, and this is a big responsibility, Pastor. Thank you for trusting me with it. He may not, after I get done, he may not be, but this is holidays, I'm home, and thank you for letting me be a part of this church family, too. I'm very appreciative. My kids are coming to town. And boy, that's just wonderful. I've 4 children, 10 grandchildren, 16 going on 17 great-grandchildren. And I have 2 boys, 2 girls. And my boys are preachers. The girls want to be preachers, but we won't let them. And nobody can preach like a woman can. I'll tell you what, you women, your minds are sharp, boy. They are sharp. And fellas, don't get in an argument with her. Agree with thine adversary. I'll tell you what, these women remember things that didn't even happen. My wife gave me this. When I turned 70, she gave me this to me. She used to give me a little ditty about how to know you're growing old. And you're growing old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You sit in a rocking chair and can't get it going. Your knees buckle, but your belt won't. You sink your teeth into a stake, and they stay there. That's how you know that you're getting old. But take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 3, if you would, and verses 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17, if you would. And Matthew chapter 3. Don't you just love the holidays and the reminder? And it's good for us to remind ourselves of the gift of Christmas. And it's good to be with family. It's good to be with church family. And this is just wonderful. And the music here is spectacular. I had a 40-piece orchestra and a 70-voice choir. And this matches everything that I've loved through all the years. It's just wonderful. The music here is great. You don't want to serve a steak on a dirty plate. And the music is just absolutely wonderful. And by the way, the Sunday school lessons. If you're not in Sunday school, shame on you. Some of the best lessons I have ever heard in my life have been right here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, the 2 times I'm here. It's the same lesson, but it's pretty good. The pastor, God's given him a gift, and it's just wonderful. The books that have been written, you ought to get every one of them. The material here is just absolutely, it's just fabulous, just fabulous. And this morning, yeah, he takes us to the heights, and he says, all right, Brother Gray, you got it tonight. Thanks a lot. Brother Howes would come in on Friday and say, how'd the meeting go? Everybody say, boy, it went great. Oh, good, now I get to destroy it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Let's stand and stretch just for a moment here, please. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and to the heavens were, lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to just, it will not be long tonight, but I want to preach to you on the subject of the Cowboys are playing. Okay, don't laugh. Well, they're not really playing. They'll be on the field. I think they're playing a girls' team, what they're playing. But anyway, I want to preach tonight on this subject, the silent years. The silent years. Father, help me to help. Holy Spirit of God, please walk up and down these aisles and go from chair to chair and person to person. What a tremendous crowd for a Sunday night. Lord, it's obvious you're doing something here. And it's wonderful. And I'm glad to be a part of it. But help me to put one more brick of truth in the wall of life. And Holy Spirit of God, you're welcome. We need you tonight. Empower us tonight. Help us tonight, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. When we think of the life of Jesus, we think of his baptism, the Jordan River, the temptation in the wilderness, the Sermon on the Mount. We think of the Judean hills. We think of the marriage of Canaan. We think of the healing of the sick. We think of the raising of the dead. We think of the blessing of the children. We think of the healing of the blind and healing of the deaf. Those we are familiar with. Jot this down, please. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17 says, "As he is, so are we." We are to be Christ-like. We are to have Christ-likeness. We're supposed to live like he did with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad he gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen. To uplift Christ. John 12:32, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men." That doesn't mean all men will get saved, but it does mean the Holy Spirit's working. And the Holy Spirit's drawing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother Hiles would several times a day beg for the power of the Holy Spirit. I've tried to follow that same pattern, praying for the Holy Spirit. Because when I talk to people, I want the Holy Spirit to talk. He's my silent partner, and I want him to talk to them. Now take note of this. The greater part of Jesus' life was not lived in Judea or near the Jordan River. We speak about the first years of his life when he was born and as a child. After that, there was silence until he was 12 and went up to Jerusalem with his parents and quizzed the theologians. There was another gap now of 18 years before Jesus started his earthly ministry. Don't leave me. These are the silent years. From age 2 to 12, that's 10 years. Another 18 years before he began his earthly ministry at age 30. And just a few passages that give us a clue. Take a look at verses 16 and 17, if you will, of Matthew 3. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son," notice this, "in whom I am well pleased." Now, this is one of the few times that you'll find the Trinity in the Bible together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'll notice verse 17, he said this, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, follow me. God the Father could not have been voicing his pleasure in Jesus for withstanding temptation. It hadn't happened yet. God the Father wasn't speaking of his public ministry, for it had not happened yet. God the Father was not speaking of Calvary. It hadn't happened yet. He wasn't speaking of preaching, because it hadn't happened yet. He wasn't speaking of soul winning, because it hadn't happened yet. None of those things had transpired yet. So what in the world was he talking about? God is speaking of more than just baptism. He is saying, up until now, I am well pleased with my beloved Son. Now go with me to Matthew 13, please, and verse 53, 54, and 55. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Watch this. Verse 55. Question. Is not this the carpenter's son? When Jesus came back to his own country and taught in the synagogue, the people asked, is not this the carpenter's son? God was pleased about those 18 silent years. Jesus' carpentry pleased God the Father. God is not pleased with a sluggard. Jesus did a good job, and he worked hard with his hands. We tend to separate the secular from the spiritual. No, it's spiritual to be a carpenter. It's spiritual to be a plumber. It's spiritual to be an electrician. It's spiritual to be a handyman. It's spiritual to be a farmer. It's spiritual to be a car dealer. Well, scratch that one out. long story. God hates laziness. God loves it when we work hard. We need to dignify work again in our country and in our churches and in our schools. A good Christian will work hard. Jesus died at a young age of 33. Jesus was called, quote, the carpenter's son, Matthew 13, 55. Why not a carpenter's son? I wonder. Maybe he was the only carpenter in that city. Jesus had a good-sized family. Maybe he was a big provider for that family. If one does not take care of his own, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. My wife and I, we got married. And on a Friday, Monday, I went to work, and they laid me off. I came back home, and she said to me, what are you doing back? I said, I just couldn't stay away from you. I loved you so much. But I said, honey, I got fired. Well, I went and got me another job. That's what you do. I went to Michigan State University and paid my own way through Michigan State. I went to Howe Edison College, paid my own way through there. There's something about the dignity of work that God is pleased with. There's something about the laboring and the sweat and the toil that the previous generation knew about, but something has happened. For some reason, one college said we'll have I forget what kind of Joshua program or some program, where the students will not have to work and they'll just go to college. And boy, that turned out to be a rotten deal. Work, labor, sweat, toil, and that is what God was pleased with. I remember when my dad believed in an agricultural lifestyle, and we lived in a city in Michigan. I was born in Arkansas, raised in Michigan, and so we had hogs, we had chickens, we had crops, we had everything in the world that a farm boy would have. And boy, he worked us. Man, he worked us. He got us up early in the morning before school. We worked. Come home from school, we worked. And I remember saying to him one day, I said, Dad, there's a coach that came by and wants me to play football. Can I try out for the football team? He said, sure, you can do that. So I went and tried out for the football team. And they had two-a-day drills in August, hot August sun. And, man, they liked to kill me. And I remember coming home, and I laid on that couch. And my daddy walked in and said, son, what's the matter? I said, well, he called it football. He never saw me play. My mama never saw me play. Nobody in our family was too busy working, trying to make a living. And he said, what's the matter with you? I said, they'd like to kill me. I said, there's two-a-day drills, and man, I am just beat. And he said, well, all right, get up. We got to go to the field. I said, wait a minute. You told me that I could play football. He said, well, you can play football all day long, all night long. We still got hogs to take care of. We still got chicks to take care of. Now get off the couch. Let's go to work. Well, the next day, I didn't go to football practice. He walked in and said, what are you doing here? I said, we got to work the field. He said, I thought you were going to play football. I said, well, yeah, but they like to kill me down there. They kill me there, and you kill me here. He said, get rest right now. You get now. He drove me down to the football field and said, no son of mine is going to start something and not finish it. Now, there's something about that quality that God is referring to. You see, God was pleased with these 18 years of Jesus' life as the carpenter. Jesus, dying on the cross, could no longer provide for his family. Jesus was concerned about his mother. If you remember the seven statements, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verily I say unto thee, that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Then number three, woman, behold thy son. Then he turned to John and said, behold thy mother. So even in those seven statements, he was saying, we got to take care of mama. We've got to take care of mama. And so there's something about this quality that God looked down and said, this is something. My son for 18 years was the carpenter. He took care of mama. He took care of the family. And God said, I am pleased with that. I'm sure Jesus was like any other boy. I'm sure he wanted to play like others. But he was too busy working to take care of the family. And that's why it's important that we not lose this quality of hard work, getting up early in the morning and getting out of bed and going to work. I'm just saying those silent years, God was saying he was pleased with that. And that's a quality that every young person ought to have. And every parent in here ought to get that kid out of bed in the morning. Here's exactly what we do. What did I do to it?
Enroll further in.
Did it?
Yeah, sorry.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you. Is it on?
It is.
Is it on? Here's what we do. Summertime comes, and the parents go like this. Shh, 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 shh. Don't wake Susie up. Shh, don't wake. What are you talking about? Get her out of that bed. Get that boy out of that bed. For some, I don't get 3 months off. Why should, come on, somebody say amen to me. Why should they get 3 months off? But there's something about this crazy philosophy that we have. Oh, I got to get a scholarship. How about working? How about going to work? There's something about this that got God the Father's attention about his own son who was perfect, virgin born, virgin life, virgin death, virgin resurrection. But there was something that God focused on here that very rarely do we ever talk about. To be like Jesus is not to smile, but grab a hammer, grab a saw, go to work, take care of mama. To be like Jesus is to perspire. It's to sweat. It's not just going to Calvary and Gethsemane, and it was a part of that. But he was saying for these silent years, these 18 years, there was something about my son that I want everybody to know about, that I'm pleased with. He was the carpenter for that city. It's God's will for Jesus to be the carpenter, not a carpenter. One of the great curses of life is doing nothing. Doing nothing. I've been going hard on the road for 50 years. I've been in the ministry 53 years, and it's not getting any easier. When I get ready to come home, I these poor men around here, God bless you, man. God bless you. I'm not going to give you any money, but God bless you. They pick me up 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, take me to the airport. They come back and pick me up, and then every time I get my luggage and start walking down that motel hallway at 3 o'clock in the morning, I say to myself, I don't think I can ever do this again, but I do. There's something about it. I've only got a few days left. I've got to give it my all. You've got, every one of us have got to leave a legacy with our young people of knowing how to work and how to labor and how to toil. My grandson Joe, 6'7", 250 pounds, when he was a little bitty thing, and he was a clown, he come to my house, and Kimberly, his mother, is our oldest daughter. She'll be here this week. But anyway, he said, Pa, Mama has lost her mind. He looked at me and think. I said, what are you talking about? She has lost, it's summertime. She has lost her mind. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, Pa, you need to talk to her. There's something wrong with her. His mother, talking about his mother. And there is something wrong with her. You need to talk to her. I said, well, son, what's the problem? He said, she takes a stack of wood over here and told me to move it all over here. It took me almost a whole day to get everything moved. And then she told me the next day to take it from here and put it back over there. Paul, she has lost her mind. She was trying to teach him how to work. Trying to teach a boy how to labor, how to sweat, how to toil. Don't you feel sorry for these kids. Don't you feel sorry for them at all. If you let them go through life without laboring, without working, without toiling, now you've done a disservice for them. These silent years, God watched. Hey, write this down. 2 Kings 17 and then 2 Kings 18. This is interesting. God told Elijah, number one, to hide himself. Then in chapter 18, God said, Elijah, show yourself. Now, there's something about the principle there in the Word of God that we ought to not be the showboat. We ought to be the hard worker, and we ought to hide ourselves behind the will of God, work hard, toil, and have enough character. And then when God gets ready to show us in our ministry, then you young preachers, hide yourself on a bus ride. Hide yourself laboring two or three. I had to work three jobs to take care of my dear family, but I was willing to do it. The first church I pastored, we had 40 driving and 50 on the bus. After the first day, I said to the treasurer, I said, Jack, I never asked. Well, two churches I pastored, I never asked about the salary. Never ask about it at all. That's what Bilal said to do, and I didn't do it, and I think he's wrong. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking there. It's a joke there, Bilal. I said, how'd we do today? He said, we had great attendance, he said. He said, and we took in $600 today. I said, that's wonderful. I said, what's our budget? He said, $900. Oh, this is good. My first show that I passed, guess what I do? Shovel snow, mow lawns. Go to work, do everything in the world I could to make sure I took care of my family. Now, I'm just saying there's something here nestled in the truth here in the scripture, the Word of God. You see, God watched Jesus go to the carpenter's shop every morning, and he was pleased. He watched him go home at night, dog tired, and God said, I'm pleased with my son. He said, hide yourself in the will of God. Work day and night while others play. Give it your all while nobody recognizes you. There's no honor involved at all. You're just doing it because it's right to do and know how to labor and sweat and toil. Let God show you at his timing. Work, sweat, toil, get calluses, go to bed tired, get up early in the morning, work till it's late at night. And I'm telling you, God is saying these silent years, I'm well pleased. Now I've got 5 points and we're out of here. You ready? Brother Roloff said to me, Brother Gray, you know what the people need? I said, what? He said, porcupine preaching. I said, what's that? It's where the people get the point. Number one, God is pleased with work. If it teaches me anything in this scripture, God is pleased with work. Don't dodge it. Don't run from it. Work. Build memories. Have war stories. Have things you can tell your kids about that you did for their sake and for the family's sake. God is pleased with work. That's what he's saying here. Number two, God blesses work. God does not bless talent. Talent runs from character. Character will find out a way to do it. Paul Duckett was my assistant pastor for 18 years, a great man. He's in heaven, a great man. His father was a Baptist preacher. His grandfather was a Baptist preacher. And his father came to me one day and he said, I think you ought to take a good look at Paul. I think Paul has great potential, my son. And I said, well, he's your right-hand man. I said, I can't do that. And he kept asking and asking. He said, no, he'll be a blessing to you. I interviewed Paul and Paul said, Brother Gray, you don't want me. He said, I win souls, but not like what Longview Baptist Temple does. I win souls now. He said, but not like that. I said, Paul, I'm not looking for that. I'll help you be a soul winner. I'll help you to do that. I want somebody who knows how to work. Somebody knows how to toil. While others are playing, I've watched you. And your daddy and your granddad have told me about you. You're a hard worker. And he became one assistant pastor. And boy, he was a great servant. And I remember the Friday before he died, the next Tuesday, we had a conference staff meeting, and he was not there, and he opened the door, and he said, Preacher, we've got three in the hospital. I've got to go see them. I'm sorry. Can I skip the meeting? I said, you sure can. He shut the door and then opened up. He said, by the way, I've got three people to come Sunday, three converts to come Sunday. And I said, that's good. Well, the next week when he passed away, went to heaven on a Tuesday, his converts showed up the following week and they wanted to know where Paul was. I said, Paul's in heaven. And they thanked me for a man that cared about their soul. Now, yeah, he had people walking the aisle after he was in heaven. I'm just saying to you, God is pleased with work. Teach your young men how to work and teach the girls how to work. Teach them how to, my mama's always after me. She doesn't treat me like an adult. Have you ever thought about acting like an adult? We can't even get in your bedroom. Try to open the door in the dirty underwear there. If I've got to come after you and get you. But I'm just saying to you, somewhere in here, God is pleased with work. That's a great lesson. Number two, God blesses work. God blesses work. The thing that you saw at First Baptist Church of Hammond and Lee Robertson Church and the great church, Curtis Hudson and Tom Malone, was a bunch of people behind the scenes that nobody even knew about that were yet. Brother House had 4,000 soul winners. Dr. Roberts had 1,000 productive soul winners. And all those great men had great works. There were people that were unknown. But when we get the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a lot of rewards handed out to people that hid themselves in the will of God. Hid themselves in the will of God. I said, one, God is pleased with work. Number two, God blesses work. Number three, God uses workers. If you want to be used of God and you're in the college here, find ways to work. Find ways to get involved. That's how you'll learn. Get involved. Volunteer. Get on a bus route. Went to Hammond. I was part of the first four-year class at Howells Anderson College. And we had different ministries, a big long table, and so on. You had to work the bus ministry. Not 1 year. You had to work it all 4 years. So I had different ministries, and I got in line for the bus ministry. And Jim Vineyard was a Green Beret. He was tough as nails, boy. And he was the bus director. And I got in line with the rest of the students and moved up. And it was my turn. And he said, what's your name? I told him, I said, Bob Gray. He looked. Okay. He said, you're going to be working on D11, Joliet, Illinois. And we're starting a D division this week. And you'll be on D11. And stupid me, I said, Brother Vineyard, do you know how far Joliet is from here? I shouldn't have said that. He leaned up and leaned into me. Joliet? You think I don't know where Joliet is? You think I just picked it out of the air and didn't have any idea where Joliet? And I said, Brother Vineyard, I'm going. God uses workers. I said, God is pleased with work. God blesses work. God uses workers. Number four, God blesses workers. He not only uses them, but he blesses them. You think about the great missionaries on the field now, and thank God that we're a mission-giving church. Thank God for it. But you think about the great work that's being done. God looked down and said, that guy's a worker. That guy's a worker. He's not a sluggard, and I'm going to bless him. I said, God is pleased with work. God blesses work. God uses workers, and God blesses workers. Number five, God was pleased with Jesus because of work. He gave himself for you and me. Thank God for salvation. Thank God that he finished his work, the death, burial, resurrection. You and I are saved tonight because of his death, his burial, his resurrection. And we are blessed because of what Jesus did for you and for me. Boy, isn't it exciting to be able to see a church filled like this? Isn't it exciting to see people saved like what we see? Isn't it exciting to see God do the work he's doing through the college and all of the work that's being done here? I'm just saying to you tonight, silent years, oh yes, as far as the world's concerned, but not as far as God the Father's concerned, because he looked down and said, I am well pleased. But hadn't been any temptation yet. Episode, no preaching yet, no teaching yet. Well, what was he pleased with? He was the carpenter's son. And you who labor and toil, don't we go to meetings? Preachers, would you stand? We applaud for the pastors. I'm not opposed to that. But I think sometime we ought to have the layman stand up and clap for the layman, because you're just as much in the will of God as any man that's on staff here. And God is pleased when you hide yourself, so that he can show you and bless and put his hand on working, because that's the dignity that God is talking about. Let's stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.